And no matter like how much of a psycho you are sitting at your computer, looking around for bets, you're not going to be nearly as good as somebody who has a few bots that are sending them notifications whenever something pops up. Hey, what's up, everybody? GP13 here, coming at you with a new episode of the Risk Takers Podcast. Today, I want to talk about a quote I heard that was applied towards entrepreneurship, which is like, if someone is making more money than you, they're doing something better in the game of business than you are doing. And I thought about it, and I think it really holds true for betting, for gambling. Which is if someone is making more money than you, sports betting, playing poker, trading, whatever it is, they're doing something better than you. And I think it's easy to dismiss people who are having more success as, oh, they got lucky or they have a big bankroll or whatever it is, when in reality, there's probably something you can learn from them, and doing the other stuff doesn't really help you at all. And really, I think it's important to just do things that help you. And if something is unhelpful to you, then just don't engage with it, which would be like, oh, they're so lucky. They have such a big bankroll, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't really help. If there's something to learn, then let's learn it. If there's nothing to learn, then let's move on. And I think there is a lot to learn from people where your initial reaction is to say like, oh, well, and explain away their success, because it probably means that they don't look exactly like you. They don't think exactly like you. They're doing something different. If you want to kind of, your gut reaction is to be like, oh, well, they're only winning because XYZ. Okay. Well, because if someone was, more similar to you and they were doing well, you'd be like, oh, they're amazing. Yeah. Because they're validating what your idea of like a winning better is, and they're validating you because they do the same things you do. It's not very interesting. You don't really learn a lot from these people. What you do learn a lot from is the people who are doing stuff different. And this happened in poker a lot. Like my generation, which was the online poker generation, famously thought everybody who was an old school pro sucked. And there were, it was kind of true. Like they probably sucked at playing online. A lot of them did. There's some that didn't. There's some great players who were from that generation who could win online. But I think the point was like, yeah, there were some players that got airtime on TV from that generation that weren't good. But there were a lot, like the people who were successful in that generation, even someone before the like that first generation, like a Doyle Brunson, is they were doing something better than what you were doing. Like maybe, Doyle was better at no limit cash, like super deep stack than some of the online players. Could be, could not be. But what, Doyle was incredibly successful, had a lot of money, certainly knew the politics of poker a lot better than our generation, could get in better games, knew how to play different games, how to give action to recreational players, how to make them feel welcome at the table so he could play against more recreational players. Like there's just levels to this that we weren't seeing at the time, that someone like a Doyle Brunson, who'd been in the game for a very, very long time, knew. He understood what the poker economy looked like. Where was his money coming from? This wasn't exactly like high on the priority list for online players. It was like all about, figuring out the intricate details of like how to balance your 3-bet and 4-bet range and, what you should be reshoving with 17 big blinds. And just like these really, really technical things were important to us. And, it is important to learn. But I think what Doyle was focused, someone like Doyle or some of the really successful players that came before the online generation were focused on, was they were just focused on stuff that made them more money, which was like getting in good games. Like if you were a great poker player, but the only game you could get in was like a $200 buy-in online game, you're not going to make much, you know, you're not going to make a living. It doesn't matter. You know, maybe if the game's like an amazing 1-2 game or something, you could eke by a living, but you know, it's much more valuable to figure out how to, you know, protect your bankroll, get into good games where you can have a large percentage of yourself and you can make millions of dollars and you're not as good as that player who's online playing 1-2. But yeah, you might not be as good at poker, but you're, you know, much better of a gambler. You're much better of a business person, right? And this kind of goes back to treating gambling as a business if you want to win at it. Thinking about it holistically, not just thinking about like how to increase your ROI 1%, but like, are you even playing the right game? Is poker even the right game? Like when people left poker to go to sports betting, I'd be like, oh, they suck at poker. They couldn't cut it. But then it's like, oh, sports betting was a much bigger opportunity and people were making more money. So like maybe they were right. It's just like game selecting at a higher level, right? So I think when we're thinking about evaluating somebody who's, you know, seemingly successful, instead of writing them off because they do something different than us, those are the cases where you can really, really learn something. And I like to break, basically, I like to figure out what are they doing, right? So I have kind of a mental framework to figure out what is this person doing differently? And I break it down into two big categories and then a few subcategories under the two big ones. Okay, so when I think about, you know, betting, I'm thinking about how much money are you making? And the money you make is simply the amount you win per bet times how many bets you make. At the very base level, that's true, right? So when I'm thinking about, when I see somebody who's successful and they're doing something different than me, and I want to really break down where I can improve, I think of it, I split them into two. I think about what are their skills in terms of getting more volume and what are their skills in terms of getting dollars per bet. So I think of volume skills and I'm evaluating another better. First one that comes to mind is speed, right? So this would be if you're a live arbitrage better, right? Speed is incredibly important. The signal is going to pop up onto your screen and you're going to have a couple seconds to decide if you want to take it or not. And I think something that often goes overlooked is like, I'll see on Twitter, some of the better live arbitrage bettors are posting, right, about their days and, you know, having, you know, a couple of $1,000 a day, making 30K a month, 40K a month. I saw, I think like D'Eric is like at 50K a month this month or something crazy. And this is just live arbing. And the thing is, people will be like, oh, well, I can't, you know, I'm not, you know, the bets are gone. Like they have special software that like helps them get an extra second or two. Okay. Why aren't you getting that software then? Why aren't you in their DMs asking them about what that software is? Like if your natural reaction is, oh, well, you know, the bets are always gone, figure out why they're always gone, because clearly there's people that they're not always gone for, right? So right there, like that should be your clue. Get your speed up. Are there tools that aren't Odds Jam Platinum that you could use to just increase like your internet speed by a, like a tiny bit, or increase like your, I'm just making things up at this point, but like make sure all your windows are open, right? Like auto open windows, and all of the sports books open, you know, is there a layout improvement that can help you shave half a second? Like these, when the game is speed, you're not going to just be able to sit there and click and, you know, be watching TV while you do this. Like you have to just be plugged in because only a few people are going to be able to get the bets. So if, you know, someone's successful at live arbitraging, that means their speed's good. And like, if you feel like you don't have enough speed, then, or like the bets just like aren't there for you, it's obviously in my mind, a case of your skill in terms of getting bets down quickly and doing everything you can to improve your speed by just minor adjustments that make a huge difference is not there. And that's what needs to be improved, right? So first is speed. And then that applies to other types of betting, but like, mostly this is almost all going to be top down. Not, not 100%, but like this is very important for top down. So if you're top down better and someone's, you know, doing better than you, it's likely that they have something that they're doing in the speed category that's optimized over your process. Okay, number two with volume is automation. You're never going to be, this is, and I would say like this person might cover more market than you. And they might cover more market than you because they've written their process into code and they've linked it with a variety of different sports books that send them alerts when there's a bet that meets their criteria. And no matter like how much of a psycho you are sitting at your computer, looking around for bets, you're not going to be nearly as good as somebody who has a few bots that are sending them notifications whenever something pops up. So, and you might think, oh, well, I can't do that. Well, I'd challenge you on that. I think you can do that. It's just, do you want to do that? Now, that's a whole nother question. But like, if you want to be as successful as someone who is a good programmer and has a lot of bots, then you might have to learn how to do that or make a lot of money and pay someone to help you out and make those bots. But like to sit there and be like, well, it's an unfair advantage, or like, I can't do that, or whatever, is not useful to you, right? It's like, how can I do that? Is how can I better my automation? It's not just like, oh, well, yeah, they, of course they make more money because they have bots. Well, you can have bots, right? You can have better automation. So in that situation, you know, maybe that's the area where you're differing from this person who might be making a little more money. And then you just got to figure out like, how can I up my automation? Personally, like I think automation's still one of our weaker points. And it's something that like I'm working a lot on, and it's really a big pain in the ass because I didn't come from a programming background and I'm having to self-teach a lot, and learning is really hard, and learning complicated stuff is really hard and it makes you feel dumb. But those are the things that are going to give you big wins, right? If you can, I think the last solo episode I did was like, looking dumb can be really plus EV. Sometimes you have to go back and look dumb for a little bit and then come out the other side, right? And number three is outs. So this is actually one I wanted to spend a little more time talking about because this was very applicable to me. So there are bettors that have more public personas, right? And for a long time, this wasn't me. But these bettors would have amazing opportunities provided to them in terms of like being able to work with other bettors who have VIP accounts at certain sports books. You know, I know Billy Walters would often partner up with, you know, like A-list actors to help get bets down for him, right? And you're like, oh, well, of course that person's making, you know, all this money. It's because they can bet, you know, $100,000 a pop on DraftKings. Well, how can they do that? Why can't you do that? And for a while, I didn't ask these questions. I thought, well, of course, so-and-so wins because they just get great accounts. Because, you know, everybody knows who they are. Well, here I am making a podcast. You know, what do you think? Eventually the answer that came to me was like, well, no one knows who the fuck you are. So why? They'll never partner with you. They don't know who you are. You know, it's fine to do your own thing. And, you know, it's not for everybody to put yourself out there, but it's hard to put yourself out there and, you know, add value to a bunch of people so that like people are willing to work with you because they realize, hey, like this is a smart, thoughtful person. They have some kind of professional reputation that now they, you know, don't want to sacrifice because they have more of a public reputation. So they're less likely to scum you or whatever it is. And they've put themselves out there. They've made a lot of content. They've kind of provided a ton of value to people. And now certain people, if they have like a good account, might seek them out. But the only way that happens is if you put yourself out there, and that's a skill. right? A skill is showing that like you're a good person to work with, that you know, should be first in mind if somebody has like a VIP account that they don't know what to do with, or they might not be a good bettor, but they've started to become interested in betting and they have like a great, you know, opportunity where they can get bets down for you after having like an account that had a long losing history or something. As like Spanky says, flipping whales, like you can't flip a whale if the whale has no clue who you are. You know, they're not going to come and beach themselves on your beach, right? So you got to put yourself out there a bit. And that's a skill. It takes a long time and it takes a lot of effort to put content out. I know Spanky put his podcast out. I think it's still like been no sponsors up till now. I'm not 100% sure, but I think Spanky hasn't had a podcast sponsor until now. And he was pretty transparent, saying like his podcast does provide him value because he gets opportunities to meet people, right? Could be meeting people to place bets for him. I think that is probably the primary revenue driver, but it also could be, you know, just meeting people who open your mind to like new ideas in the betting space. Both are valuable, but to get great outs, people need to know who you are. So the people that might not feel like they have as much originating skill or betting skill, but they can get down bets, you know, big bets at great prices. Well, that's a skill in itself. And sometimes it takes like, it's not intuitive, right? It's like, oh, I have to now figure out how to have people realize who I am. That's not necessarily like a same skill as winning at sports betting, but it's like marketing, right? Like, are you good at, you know, are you good at getting your name out there? Are you good at showing people you have something to offer, or showing people that you're, you know, worth working with? Well, you know, there's plenty of ways to do that, but you got to start somewhere. You know, you got to start getting people to know that you exist. So that is a skill in itself. And people who have had success partnering with people and getting good accounts, well, that's what they're better at, right? Like, it's not, oh, lucky them. Billy Walters is so lucky. He gets to, you know, have Ben Affleck place $1 million bets. Well, how do you get there? You know, I'm sure that Ben Affleck has no clue who I am. He might know who Billy Walters is. Billy Walters probably has someone who introduces him to Ben Affleck and has like a long list of satisfied customers who he's worked with over the years that, you know, refer him. And, you know, we all know who he was because he, you know, had an amazing reputation for being incredibly sharp. Like, there's reasons to not want to be known, but there's certainly reasons to want to be known as well. And it has to do with getting good outs. Okay. So that's more of the volume game. The volume game is, you know, are they better at speed, automation, outs, right? Now we talk about what's, I think, people consider more the traditional sports betting skill, quote unquote. Although I would argue treating it like a business and being holistic with it is the main skill. But, you know, are you better? Or the first one, actually, when you're talking about dollars per bet, like how many dollars are you making per bet? One thing that cannot go overlooked is how big your bankroll is. And this is, I even hate to bring this up because this is the number one thing I hear from people who are like smaller stakes bettors or who aren't, you know, finding success is, oh, if I just had a big bankroll. It's the same thing as if people were like, oh, if I could just put 150 entries into a DraftKings contest, right, I would win. Well, no, you actually wouldn't. The people that are putting the 150 entries in got to that point for a reason, and they're very strategic in how they structure those 150 entries. And that's a whole skill and game upon itself. And they don't win because they put 150 entries in. They put 150 entries in because they win, right? People have a big bankroll because they win. Over time, you know, your bankroll growth should compound. And part of harnessing the power of compounding is, you know, being really good at bet sizing, really good at getting new outs and whatnot. But over time, if you consistently win, your bankroll will grow. So someone who has a bigger bankroll than you is probably better at two things. One, they're probably better at managing their money. And two, they're probably better at having a consistent winning process over years. And it might be that you just haven't been in the game long enough. Well, that's great. But like, you don't have the experience that that person with the bigger bankroll has had in how to manage and grow and protect a bankroll. So they're better at that than you for now, as they should be, right? They've done it. They've gone through it. So let's not, you know, dismiss people as skilled because they have a big bankroll. You know, big bankrolls do afford you certain advantages, but it's not in terms of winning bets. You know, it's in terms of hiring out work, hiring, you know, programmers, hiring, you know, people to help you with accounting and taking, you know, some time off your plate. It's basically like economies of scale. But in terms of winning bets, it doesn't matter, right? So, you know, people who have a bigger bankroll have gotten that big bankroll because they're skilled at essentially like financial management, right? So that's a skill in itself. And having a big bankroll and not having to give out large percentages of your bets to other people, that helps you make more dollars a bet. And that comes from being kind of like a astute manager, you know, manager of your bankroll, right? And that's a skill there. Skill number two in increasing your dollar per bet is gathering data. So this could be like, are you a good scraper? Are you well-versed in how to work and incorporate APIs, how to structure databases, how to organize databases, clean it, create your own data? You know, data is a huge advantage. And I was actually just talking with somebody on the phone, and we were talking about, you know, there's this question that's come up. It's like, would you rather be have 10 out of 10 data or be a 10 out of 10 modeler? And I think it's like not even close. You want 10 out of 10 data. And the example I gave was like, if you knew a game was rigged and a team was going to win, then you win. Super easy to bet. Don't need to model. And of course, like, this situation doesn't happen if you're partaking in legal, if you're partaking in legal sports betting, you know, operations. That doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen. And don't do that. But the ceiling for data is so much higher than the ceiling for modeling, right? So the people who gather unique data, who organize it better, who create their own data, these are people that are going to be able to find big edges. Being a great modeler, you know, as someone who's not a great modeler, it's actually like, I might not be doing this justice, but I just think like your ceiling is maybe an extra percent here, an extra percent there, if you're just using the same data that's available to everybody. Whereas if you can find or create data that's unique, you could walk into an edge that's, you know, 20, 30% ROI easy. So being good at scraping, being good at working with APIs, being good at building databases, these are all things that are going to increase your dollar per bet. And, you know, if you see somebody who might not know much about the sport that you like to bet, but they're making more money than you because they're like a quote unquote computer dork or something, it's likely that they're just doing a really good job with building, maintaining, managing, and gleaning insights from a database, right? So that could be, you know, that could be something that is, that should be something that actually that's a very high priority, especially if you're looking to move to a more bottom up, is data. Good data, unique data, organized data, you know, whatever it is. That is very, very important. And then I'll shout out the, you know, the data science, the modeling. Like we discussed before, I do think it's more important to focus on getting great data and managing, you know, appending, doing whatever you can with that to give yourself that leg up before you even have to model and draw insights from it. But of course, like, and this is something I'm focusing on this year, is becoming better at data science, because while I think that I am good at the database and the gathering and creating data aspect of betting, I'm actually very weak as a data scientist. So of course, being able to derive better insights from the data available is very important. And that's, you know, certainly not a skill that should be overlooked. And that's something that I think I'm objectively weaker at than some of my peers. So that's something I'm focusing on. And it's something that, you know, I might have placed less importance on in the past and said, you know, whatever, they're wasting their time, like, running all of these complex models. It's such a waste of time. They should just be doing X, Y, Z. But ultimately, I think the people that I'm still kind of behind in the betting space are, you know, they're just certainly better data scientists than me. You know, I don't know, as far as the other categories, I'm not sure if they're, you know, better than me there or not, but they're definitely better data scientists. So I know, okay, there's something there, right? There's something to learning some extra data science to move me up a rung on the ladder. And I don't think I would be focusing as much on data science this year if it weren't for me evaluating people that I think are doing better than me and trying to figure out where they're skilled that I'm lacking. So certainly a big shout out to data science, as it's one of the GP13 goals of the year. And then number four is domain knowledge. Domain knowledge is like, what do you actually know about the sport that you're betting? And for the people who are very much top down or very mathematical data science based, this might be one where you're like, oh, well, so-and-so is an idiot. They like don't know what a good sample size is, or they don't realize like the books are always right. They're just betting because they know, you know, Giannis is tired or something. And like usually people who like have domain knowledge, quote unquote, aka know a lot about the sport, actually like don't know useful things about the sport. Like they might be able to tell you who won, you know, rookie of the year in like 2010, but they actually don't understand how like certain teams rotations work and what coaching tendencies matter in terms of like point totals and, you know, player stats. Like they know a lot about the sport, they can talk a lot about the sport, but they don't know about the sport, you know? So what domain knowledge is to me is how much useful stuff do you know about the sport? Because every bottom-up approach is based on some domain knowledge. Like at the end of the day, I think. Could, you know, certainly feel free to disagree with me, but a lot of the useful insights come from having a hypothesis that starts by knowing something about the sport. So something interesting comes to mind, and then you think, oh, okay, like, you know, maybe this is important, and then you go test it, right? So you have a hypothesis, and then you go test it. And the domain knowledge allows you to have better hypothesis. As long as you're aware of like how betting works first, and you don't think, oh, LeBron, you know, LeBron always kills the Clippers. It's like, okay, maybe not. Like, he's just like really good, so maybe he puts up great stats against everybody, right? Like, are you sure that he kills the Clippers? Are the Clippers even the same team this year as they were 5 years ago, you know? So as long as you're not just like kind of randomly shooting off stuff like that, and you're being really thoughtful with what impacts the game and what might be some hidden correlation within the sport you're following, and some hidden avenues where you can test this hypothesis with the data, then you know, you're fine. You know, make sure you're being thoughtful about it and you're trying to learn more about the sport, and that could in turn give you more hypotheses you can test, and then it'll widen the it will increase your sample size of trying to find things that work, right? Like you're trying, I think, like in bottom up, you're going to test a bunch of stuff and most of it's not going to work. Well, the more good hypotheses you can bring to the table to test, the more things you'll find that work. And that comes from domain knowledge, right? And then number five is sportsbook knowledge. And this is woefully underappreciated, in my opinion. Sportsbook knowledge it's a lot like what Ed Miller and I talked about, and kind of what Mr. Limit and I talked about, which is what makes these sports books tick? Do you know what's going on behind the scenes, right? A lot of what what Ed talks about in his book, Interception, is how do I find bets that I have a likelihood of winning? Where are the weaknesses of a sportsbook? And where do those weaknesses, where are those derived from? Like, what incentives are set up for the sportsbook so that there will be inherent cracks in the system that they don't really care too much about, or they don't care enough about for bettors to exploit, because we get to choose our bets where sportsbooks have to put out bets. And so, like, how do we balance that? Another thing is, you know, understanding the rules. Do you understand the rules of your market? There's sometimes the rules of a market can turn a market way, way, way in the advantage of the bettor. And I talked about in the originating podcast, the example that Telemachus Model had, where he was betting the ninth inning baseball props, where it was something along the lines of, like, if a team didn't get up to bat, then the bet voids. So he was just taking all these overs on ninth inning runs, because if a team only played half an inning, they would void the bet, right? And that happens in the ninth inning, you know, if the home team wins before the bottom of the ninth. So, you know, it was, and they were setting the same lines as other sports books who had the rule where it's like, no matter what happens, the ninth inning counts. So if it only plays half an inning, the ninth inning counts. And it was the same price, and it shouldn't have been the same price because the rules are different. You would never know that if you didn't know the rules of the sports book, right? So it's just like finding those little angles, right? You know, where might I go look and poke around a sports book to see if some money shakes loose? And I think a lot of the great bettors who have longevity are really good at opening up a sports book and just poking around. Are they missing any correlation? Are they, you know, making, you know, are they accounting for this mistake I saw 5 years ago that was made, you know, by this other sports book? You know, they have like this laundry list of areas a sports book can fuck up. And if they open up a new, you know, sports book account or find a new sports book, they just go poking around for those weaknesses. And, you know, more often than not, a really good experienced bettor can probably shake loose one or two angles while poking around a sportsbook software. So that is, you know, woefully underestimated in successful betting, but it's very important. So that is the last step, or the last subsection of what people can be doing to make more money than you. And I think it's important to stop and put our egos aside, because we want to learn from people who, on the surface, were kind of skeptical if they make money or not. But if we deem them to be successful and we do, you know, have some good validation that they are, in fact, winning bettors, then we think, wow, they're doing things very differently than me, but they're winning. Instead of being like, eh, they kind of suck, we're like, oh, this is a great opportunity because our Venn diagrams don't overlap. So they have all these skills that I don't have, and I can add them to my toolkit. And that's the best opportunity for me to be a better than just thinking like, oh, this person who I learned a lot from and does things exactly like me, I like to listen to them because it validates that I'm a winning bettor, that I'm really, really smart. We don't need to be validated. We need to learn, right? Like, that's the key. We need to fill the holes. The opportunities are in the holes. So I love to see somebody who wins and does things different than me, because it means that there's this great big opportunity for me to get better. And that's helped me a lot. It's helped me a lot level up quickly in this game. So I hope it helps you. I hope this episode is interested, and I will see you on Thursday. We're going to be interviewing Sports Projections. It's an amazing Twitter account. He's incredibly smart, writes some good long form content. I suggest you go check it out. Let me know if you have any questions for him, and please subscribe. So it helps me out, but also you won't miss that podcast. So thanks everybody again for listening, and we'll see you later this week.